Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Book Club podcast, your weekly Star Wars podcast about all of the new books in the new expanded universe. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me today is Tyler Berry.
What's happening, buds and babes? Welcome to the new and improved Star Wars Book Club podcast, sponsored by Shock Top. It's not sponsored by Shock Top.
Or Funko, or Lego, or 1990s Kenner's toys.
Oh, I wish Kenner was
still making the Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
Don't you? Every single day of my life. Anyways, guys, this week we are diving into Bloodline, not Bloodlines, as we just debated for a moment.
Yeah, we say Bloodlines a lot. I keep saying it, and I know it's not right, and I kind of don't give a shit, but I also kind of do because I don't want to look like an idiot. Right. So.
Well, and it's also by the wonderful Claudia Gray,
who
gave us Lost Stars.
She is the greatest.
Should we take a drink every time?
As we both take sips of our lovely Shock Top apple honey crisp. I don't know what the fuck it's called.
This is why they don't sponsor us.
Well, maybe one day.
Can't get Bloodline title right. Can't get the beer we're drinking right. But
That's because we're just dumb man children.
Look, the point is we should drink every time we say Claudia Gray is great. Because it will happen consistently.
You just said it. So.
I know. Well, no.
Anywho. So Bloodline is pretty fucking great so far.
It is.
I guess we should clarify that. Well, you'll see it in the description. But we are only discussing the first 100 pages. I don't know.
That is what 100 means in not real sign language.
Well, I was actually drawing a page, like, you know, it's like a rectangle. Mm-hmm. It's not like
a scroll.
But you
didn't do it 100 times.
It's, fuck you.
it's fantastic. How are you liking it so far?
Dude, let's dive in. I mean, a typical Claudia Gray fashion, as we're starting to find out, like, she's just one of the most talented writers that I've seen in terms of like writing a Star Wars story when it comes to describing, not only describing action, but describing like the inner thoughts of characters.
Yes. She's also very good at making things that the Star Wars universe usually has be very boring, i.e. political Senate hearings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Relatively interesting.
Absolutely. Like, still not like the most interesting thing in the world. I still would rather her talk more about the media, but still pretty damn interesting.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot out of this, too. I think we got to see where it is in the timeline, too. I was sort of hoping we'd get more Ben and Han, but I kind of like them being in the background.
Same.
Because it also opens it up for, like, what if the movies want to do stuff with this? But it does kind of make it a lot more about her and kind of where she is without getting into, I guess, a lot of the big questions that people have of like what happened to their relationship and what makes Ben turn, and all of those are different stories. And what this really is why this thing at the end of Jedi that was so great, being beating the Empire, making a new Republic, why is it not working, and what about it isn't working? Because we really like Return of the Jedi ends on a very happy note.
Right.
Everything's fine. New government. Great. And then we get to Force Awakens, and apparently that government is terrible. And there's the Resistance fighting the First Order, and no one, both sides of that coin, don't like the New Republic.
Right.
So it's weird to see, like, we kind of come into this place where the thing we were fighting for three movies is basically irrelevant by the time we get to Force Awakens. And this book really digs into the, like, the how and why of why that happened, which I think is interesting. And it does it in two ways, through Leia just being like, ugh, we don't get anything done, and it's stupid. And Castor Off, whose belief is we need to elect a leader. Because the big problem with this is that there's no one really acting as a leader.
Right.
Everyone's kind of just middle, like basically being middle management, because they're all afraid of having another emperor. But now there's a, like, it's the populace and the centrists, and they think we need this thing and we need to make it. And Leia is sternly against that. You would almost even argue afraid of it, which I think is really interesting. And that comes to light when she goes to visit Kasteroff, who is surrounded by emperor propaganda.
Oh, basically. Man, that was like a really... That was a really interesting few pages. Like, that scene was pretty... That was a pretty serious scene, because you just see Leia just... Like, she's, like, fighting back, like, a breakdown almost, yeah, while she's staring at all this, like, imperial propaganda that this dude just is like, oh, I don't support it, but it's a thing of history. And it's like, yeah, that shit belongs in a fucking museum. Like,
right.
You shouldn't... Like, I'm not going to have, like... I appreciate the significance of... there being a Holocaust museum, but I'm not going to have a bunch of Nazi propaganda in my fucking house.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly what it's clearly an allegory, I guess, for, sure, is like that sort of semblance. But he also gets into a really interesting debate, which is another thing that makes Claudia Gray a great writer, is she always gets into these really interesting debates where both sides have a very valid argument. Because he really goes off into something... My history teacher in high school, when we were talking about, like, governments and U.S. politics, was very much like, one day we just asked him, what do you think the best government is? And he was very honestly like, I believe a benevolent dictatorship would be the best. If you can get one person in charge who genuinely has the best interests and is a good person and always makes the right decision, you win. And it's like, well... You can't argue that if there's somebody making all of the right choices all the time, right, and we all just listen to him, that, yes, like, that makes sense. On paper, of course.
That's like saying you could have the best president as long as he's making all the right decisions and his entire cabinet and Senate and House are agreeing on everything he says. Like, of course that means he's going to end up being the best president, but that's not realistic.
Right, but that's not how it works. And I think it's interesting that Kasteroff gets into that idea of, like, the empire can work. He's like, all of the things it did that were good were there, which we did see in Lost Stars, people having that belief.
And there were good people, genuinely good people in the empire.
And it's almost makes this book better having read Lost Stars, because otherwise you kind of are just like, yeah, the Emperor is evil. Why does he want this? But you read Lost Stars and you're like, no, Thane, Sienna, Jade, there were all of these really good people who genuinely believed this was right doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And now we see somebody being like, well, what if that was the focus? And what if he wasn't actually like a bad guy? And it's almost makes Leia more stubborn than he is, because she won't accept that idea. Which I think is one of the more interesting parts we've seen of Leia.
Well, in Leia's defense, she's seen a lot more shit than he has. Like, one, she's... I think they say at one point she's almost twice his age. Like,
oh, well, yeah.
He's a very young...
He was six during the Battle of Endor.
Okay, so, like, he's probably in his early 30s, and, you know, she's nearing... She's on the latter half of 40, so, like... She's seen a lot more and obviously, as we know, directly experienced a lot more heartbreak due to the imperial reign than he could ever even imagine.
Yeah. Well, because he also just openly is like, the rebels were terrorists. Like, he just labels them that way. And he's like, I'm not saying they did bad things. I'm just saying that, like, technically what you did was acts of terrorism.
Which is funny because... I don't think the word terrorist is ever used in any of the movies.
No.
So it's this new theme of these rebels being referred to as actual terrorists. And when you think about it, I guess technically that sort of it, they sort of fit the definition of a terrorist based on. Yeah. So it's really interesting because. I'm not sure if you ever thought of it like that, because I didn't. I never thought... I just thought of the Rebels as the good guys before I really got into EU stuff. Like, I was just like, oh, no, the Rebels are obviously the good guys, but there's another side of that coin. They're technically, they are committing acts of terror every time they attack the Empire.
Yeah. Like, they're...
It's just really interesting to think about it from, like, the other side of the coin.
Yeah. Well, and that's what makes Kasparov so interesting, too, is he's really... almost more unbiased than Leia is.
I would agree.
He's coming at it now of like, well, there was an established government that had a lot of good ideas, that genuinely was trying to do something good, that ended up being super corrupt, and this band of terrorists ended up forming this new government. Where Leia is like, we were the good guys and they were evil, and it's very black and white to her. And you see that come out a lot until kind of the backhand of this chapter when the guy... not the Hutt, but the other alien species that they go to visit.
Yeah.
Is basically like, oh, I want to work with you because you slaughtered Jabba the Hutt. And I think then, like, she really has to accept, like, these shades of gray. Like, they show her...
Shades of Claudia Gray?
Ah, that's
that delicious,
refreshing.
Delicious Shock Top. Created and brewed by Shock Top Brewing Co., St. Louis, Missouri.
Anyways, they show her...
Can we get a content ID fucking thing for... I don't think we can.
No.
Angry Video Game Nerd drinks fucking Rolling Rock on his thing, so...
Yeah.
I dated myself with that reference. That's like an 8-year-old reference, but fuck it.
Anyway. But she... she sees herself kill him. And she even says, she's like, this is the first time that I've had to actually look at this. And she was like, and like, for the longest time, it was just, well, we have to save Han. We have to do this thing. We have to do this. And she was like, but this was the first time that I've been like, oh, I like brutally murdered that guy. Like, and he was evil, but brutally murdered him.
You know, that's the first time that we see, like, Leia really, like, analyze it. Like, really look back at that, I mean, pretty pivotal moment, not only the franchise, but just in
her life.
And frankly, in Luke's life, in Han's life, because, I mean, she kind of saved everyone's ass when it came to that shit.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to see her look back at it, and then for her to tell... her team about it, basically, and be like, well, I don't really want you to fucking watch this, but here's the hollow cube of me murdering this dude. If you really need to feel like you need to check it out, I'll be over here not looking at it again.
Well, and you see her get challenged a lot in that moment, because she also makes a sting operation without telling her, like, second in command, who then does the right thing and tries to save her. So she can't really get mad at him for it. But he's
but
still
she
like,
does.
But she
and
does.
And it's kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
But it's like you can't. That's one of those moments where he is clearly in the right and she's just being really fucking stubborn. And she's just like, oh, you shouldn't have saved me. He's like, how the fuck was I supposed to know you wanted to get caught? You wanted to be trapped. Like, what the fuck? That's not realistic. Like,
yeah. Well, it's that moment that, like, then unites them. Like, then it ends with them going back and being like, here's the thing we have to do. And both of their beliefs get challenged. Because he's like, well, if we just tell them how it is, they'll let us do this. And immediately they're just like, well, she did this, but he did that. And even, like, it says that he really is like, oh, this whole place is a mess. Like, it's like the first time where he's like, but I told you the facts and you're still arguing over... who was right and who was wrong.
Right.
Like, there's a bigger thing here. And so I think that's when they kind of start meeting halfway. So I'm curious to see where it goes.
Me too.
Because we don't know, like, I'm just chasing smoke, but chasing Snoke is what I'm really going to say. But I'm just assuming that the big baddie that's behind all this is Snoke.
God, I hope so.
And I'm assuming that if not Kasparov, then someone else we meet will be a First Order person. Also, the other pilot that they get, who was like super, super excited, I really was hoping that was going to be Thane. And it just...
Oh, man, I know, wasn't, right? Like, oh, dude.
But he was also a great character. Like, he was just so fun because the whole time he was like, oh, finally, some action. Wait, what do you mean I'm with Leia and all these big... I'll just hang out over here. And then, like, whenever he's talking to the girl who knew Han, whose name I just forgot, but he's like, you won the big race with Han Solo? And she's like, it's not a big deal. And he's like, okay, breathe. Don't be weird.
Yeah, don't freak out.
Just play it cool. Bye! And then, like, you also get to see where Han is right now. And I love that, like, when we meet him in Force Awakens, he's going back to just being a smuggler. But apparently right now he's, like, a racing, like, booker.
Yeah, and he does, like, shit for charity and shit.
Yeah.
And, like, Chewie's at home on Kashyyyk.
Just, like, kicking chilling.
It, like, chilling, drinking beers and shit. Like, this, it's fascinating. Like, that was one of those moments in the book where I was like, Can I just put a pause on this and learn about that, please? Because I want to see Chewie on... Why wasn't that the...
I know. Why wasn't that the Chewie comic instead of the stupid thing that we got? But yeah, you also get hints, though, because I was thinking... Because, I mean, this is one of those books where you want everything. Like, they mentioned Ben, and I'm like, give me everything with Kylo Ren. But I was like, well... The only big moment we have that talks about his past is when him and Rey are talking, and he's like, you think that he's the father you never had? He'd disappoint you. And it's interesting that the only moment we get from him is he's with Luke somewhere where they can't communicate. And it's like, oh, obviously a big part of why Ben turned is dad's off being a race man, mom's off in the Senate, and they just basically shucked me off to old man Luke.
With my uncle,
and they don't talk to me. Like, Leia even has that moment where she's like, I should really send them another message. It's been, like, months. And you're like, oh, I see where all of this goes for him. He's going to be like, where's my family? And Snoke's going to roll in and be like, did you know that your grandfather was the greatest man ever? So I'm hoping that at least gets implied somewhere. Like, I'm sure they either want to save that story for the movie or something, but I would love to just start flirting with that a little bit in, like, the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's going to murder a lot of people.
A lot of people.
And then make them all into ashes and put his mask in it, which really just sounds like a little bit of dust is going to get in your mask and then in your eyes.
It just doesn't sound comfortable.
Like, no. Like, I remember when I first heard that, I was like, that's kind of cool, JJ. And then I was like, but incredibly impractical. Like...
Why not, like...
You have to burn all your enemies.
Why not do something cool with your mask? Like, I don't know, rig it to, like, a flask or something so that, like, you could just have, like, a little straw in there and just...
Right? Something besides, like, what's that? Well, every time I kill somebody, I take
No one take that motion that I just did out of context, please? I really don't want anything to come of that.
So anyways, he would take it, and now I've completely lost my train of thought about Kylo Ren. So we'll segue into where Leia is being a badass in the Senate.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it's interesting watching those scenes, because for the first few, I was just like, we know from the prequels that no one likes to do the government stuff. This is the most boring part of the franchise.
Yeah.
And this was one of the first times that I was like, oh, let's see. I'm curious. How is all this going to go? Because she just hands over her title to that woman and is like, whatever. I don't want to do this. I want to leave. So I'm really curious how deep this book will get into, like, the seeds of the resistance and the First Order. Because we know that she becomes Leia again and does that. And we know that the First Order blows up the Senate.
Right.
And all of these other things, so I don't know. It'll be curious.
I mean, what do you think so far?
I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
Or do you worry what I think is going to come?
I literally just meant that. Like, what do you think about the book so far?
I think it's really good. I'm having moments where I'm kind of like, I don't want to be in the Senate. Like, it's one of the things where, like, every time they get into the stuff that's great, like, the relationship with her and Kasparov, anything with Ben, Luke, Han... All the stuff on the planet, the sting operation, all of that was great. Her and her team. 3PO is hilarious in this because he's just like, I get to talk about protocol. Oh boy.
I love that moment early in the book when she's like, fuck protocol. And it's and the word and the action description is like action description. The narrative is like, and out of the corner of Leia's eyes, she saw she saw 3PO like quarter turn his body to face her, as if to say, How would you ever dare to go against protocol? And like Leia's just like, fuck that. I just thought that was really funny. I love 3PO, man.
He's so good.
He's such a clown.
I know. I really want either BB-8 or R2 to come hang out with him, though. Like,
Biebs, my babe.
We don't know where... Well, we might know where... Well, no, we don't know where Poe is, because the comic picks up after this. So he's
exactly
off doing something.
Speaking of Poe...
Yes, we will probably segue really quick into Poe Dameron number 2. So stick with us. If you're watching on YouTube, let us know what you think of Bloodline in the comments and subscribe, and we will be
down there
right back.
Sponsored by Shocktop.
No, we're not. No one is sponsored by Shocktop. I'm sure somebody is sponsored by Shocktop, but it's not us.
Damn it.
All right. We will be right back.
Sponsored by Shocktop.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Star Wars Book Club podcast, where we're going to quickly go on about Poe Dameron issue number 2. Well, that was quick.
Bye.
It's hitting a lot of the same beats that like every 1, 2, 3 issues of a comic book I feel like has to hit. Like, they don't have to, but the first issue was a lot of just like exposition on why this thing has to happen, with the big shocking reveal that the bad guy is right on your heels. And this one was a lot of like establishing the bad guy, who I did like the new antagonist.
I do too. He's my favorite part so far of this.
He's fun. He's a really good antithesis to Poe, because they're both very like swashbuckling and silly.
There also wasn't a whole lot of Poe in this.
No.
When you really think about it.
No, we got a lot more of the like team flying around, which I did enjoy his like, all right, team, we're going to be one step ahead of them. And they're like, oh, we're not quite luring those TIE fighters. I guess we'll blow it up. And I was like, awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was a lot of fun. The art is still great.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I want to know what's in that egg.
I mean, probably a giant chicken, I would assume.
I hope it's just literally that. I hope. That's still one of my favorite parts, too, is watching them just worship this random egg in the middle of their place.
And then homeboys, stormtroopers just flame that shit.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was really cool.
Like, all right, fine. I guess you don't have to do what we say. Burn the egg.
Let's make the world's biggest omelet, as he says in the comic, which made me laugh.
Which for some reason I'm like, huh, Star Wars universe has omelets.
Yeah, they say something else. They have brandy also.
Yeah.
And like, I know they'd have like something like brandy, but I didn't expect them to actually just call it brandy. I was like, hey, that's our universe thing.
They had brandy all those years ago?
Just brandy and omelets all day. That's all they eat. Brandy, omelets, and blue milk.
That sounds like a great universe. But yeah, I mean, there's not too much to say about this one, because it does kind of like power through its scene. Like, it feels like a scene in a trade of like this thing.
And as I said to you off mic, it feels like that issue two. It's just got issue two syndrome, frankly. Like, it does a lot and does nothing at all at the same time.
Right. Well, and it's tough too, because like I keep comparing these books to like the first few issues of Vader, which is not a fair thing to do.
It's not.
But even like the Leia and Lando miniseries and like a lot of the other early stuff, they did a lot in those quick issues. And for some reason with Poe, I was super excited about this character. And so far I'm like, they're not doing anything terribly interesting with them. And they obviously have time to grow, because it is an issue too.
And it's not a miniseries, correct?
And it's not a miniseries. It's ongoing. It's going to be going for a while. But, like, I haven't really felt him in this so much yet.
Not even remotely. Like, hell, I haven't even really felt BB-8 in this.
No, not at all. And it really just kind of feels like he's on a mission, which is, I've said a lot on other shows that we have, where sometimes I feel like comics that are ongoing hit a, what I call, like, a generic comic book story. which is just like the Green Goblin showed up and Spider-Man's going to fight him for 3 issues. And it's sure. always like 3 issues long, and it's always just kind of beginning, middle, end. They don't really learn anything. There's not really any big character like development. It's just almost feels like they have to put a book out and here it is. And so far, that's how I kind of feel about this, where I'm like, all right, they're on an island with an egg. And it's frankly how I felt about the last Vader arc and the current Star Wars arc that we're in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel like they're just kind of like grinding this out for something bigger. And I'm concerned that with Poe, they're kind of like, well, we can't get too crazy because like the same way we were like, they can't do too much in Force Awakens or A New Hope area. How much can they do with Force Awakens without being like, well, they want to do this in the movie and they want to do this in the movie and they want to do this. Or, like, maybe they want to make a Poe Dameron standalone movie one day and we can't tread in. Like, and it's one of those things where I'm like, it feels very generic and it doesn't have to be. And I'm concerned that they're harboring things where they are kind of like, let them off in that little side of the world right now.
I mean, I don't think you could have hit the nail on the head any harder. I mean, that's obviously what they're doing. That's that I guess is sort of... There lies the problem with having a true expanded universe in terms of that it like it is concurrent with everything going in going on in our movie part of the franchise. Like, there's always going to be shit you can't do. There's going to be stories you can't tell because the suits need it for another story down the road or another movie down the road or something like that. You're going to get shoehorned into a certain area a little bit. And frankly, a lot of that, as I also said to you off mic, it tried to be on mic, but then the camera messed up. But like, it just feels like we're getting a lot of the same stuff with these characters that we really care about in these comics, which is let's go to a world that I don't really give a fuck about.
Yeah.
And let's spend 5 issues there, quote unquote, helping them.
Yeah.
Even though most of the time we end up hurting them.
Right.
And then let's call it a fucking day and let's move on to the next one.
Like, and it feels like they should be able to do things like that and still give like an emotional depth to the characters.
But they're not. Like, I feel no emotional attachment to Poe right now.
No, none.
I don't feel an emotional attachment to BB-8 right now. And BB-8 is my favorite thing in the goddamn world besides Santee. Santee?
And you don't really feel anything for any of these characters yet. Like, there's no real like... Who are they? What are they about? Why are they there? Like, we had our cool, like, 80s splash page introducing everybody.
Which was the dopest.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, I kind of want... And again, like, it is an issue too, blah, 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 but...
it's still not an... That shouldn't be an excuse.
It shouldn't be, and there's so many examples of where it isn't. And that's the thing, is it's... And that's why I feel like it's falling into that pratfall of just, like... Well, we're going to tell this story really quick to put something out, and we'll get to our, like, really impressive, like, Poe Dameron run. But again, it's just like, well, and there should be a lot to learn with this character because we don't know a lot about him in Force Awakens. So you should be able to do a lot. Like, you could have gone anywhere. You could have, like, shown me him, like, growing up or, like, coming up as a pilot or his very first mission.
Right.
And instead, we're kind of diving into, like, I almost want to say that this opened with her being like, you should go to Jakku and meet this guy. He has something that'll help us get to Luke. And I'm like, why are you going so close to The Force Awakens? It almost becomes what was the concern with Rogue One for a while of why are you so close to A New Hope?
Right.
We know.
And now we know. Yeah. And now we know that Rogue One literally ends 10 minutes before A New Hope starts.
They are saying a lot of things about that movie, and I will say, like, speaking...
No, I should say. I'm sorry. It's still... I guess it's technically still a rumor.
Well, he said that because they were doing the reshoots, and we can get into the reshoots a bit. I do want to talk about it, so we can just do that right now.
Yeah, I mean, read Poe, too, but it's fine. Don't expect a lot, I guess. I don't know.
No, I think that's the best way to sum it up. Read it. It's good. Stick with it because the art is good. The writing's good and funny. The characters they're introducing are good. It's just right now...
It feels like we're getting back into the same shit we got in with Obi and Annie, the same shit we got in to with the last Darth Vader story arc that we discussed.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's been a slightly disappointing for me so far.
Yeah.
Well, because I love Poe. Yeah, I love Poe and I want more of them.
And we've seen them get so deep with Vader, with Leia, with Lando, with Shattered Empire. They're like with the first Star Wars arc, Vader down. Like we've seen these comics tell some pretty cool stories. So when like you come out swinging with your like breakout character and it's kind of like whatever, I'm like, and it's not even necessarily bad. It's not bad. A solid 7. But they're making me want everything to be an 8 or a 9.
Yep.
That's the expectation is very high.
They set their bone bar so high.
Yeah. Which is, speaking of setting your bar too high, a big reason they're doing reshoots is that Rogue One isn't apparently not up to par with Force Awakens, and they want it to be that high. I would argue you're not always going to get that high, guys.
Not when you're doing a movie a year.
No. Even if you were doing a movie every 4 years, like you're just... I can't name you one franchise. Even like the best example of it is like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're going to have their Iron Man 2 and their Incredible Hulk.
And their Thor Dark World.
And their Thor Dark World and their Age of Ultron. They're going to have these like
solid trippy, sevens. Yeah. To go back to what you just said about right. Poe.
They're going to have their trippy moments. I'm just concerned, not that they're doing reshoots, because everybody does reshoots. They schedule it into the movie.
Yeah. I wish shit like that didn't get blown out of proportion so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Excuse me. Oh, my God. They're doing reshoots. Yeah. Goddamn fucking right they are. No one gets it completely right the first go around. That's why you schedule it into.
Civil War had 2 weeks of reshoots. Ghostbusters had 2 weeks of reshoots. Suicide Squad is doing it, but they also got real bad press for it. Like, calm down. People reshoot it.
Let the process happen. Like,
right.
Let the movie come out and then freak out if it's not
right.
up to par.
They do research screenings to find out if a movie is working. And then if it's not, they go back and they fix what's not working. If anything, it shows you that they care. They're not delaying the movie. They're not doing anything like that. But my big concern is that he was like, we want it to match the tone of A New Hope because it's right before A New Hope. And I was like, don't do that. Give me the brutal war movie that you're selling me.
Yes.
Do that. That'll be fine. I understand that you'll probably show that to a lot of people and they'll go, this isn't Star Wars. But like, so what? Like to that, like I had a friend who when Force Awakens came out was like, man, that scene where the Millennium Falcon spins all over the place doesn't feel like Star Wars to me. And I was like, do you know what makes it feel like Star Wars? The fact that it's the Millennium Falcon. I don't need every movie to feel exactly the same. Otherwise, you run into another Marvel Cinematic Universe, not in my opinion problem, but borderline issue of like all of these are
same
funny.
Tropes yeah. in every single movie. The same superhero landings as people right. like to harp on and shit like that.
You unify your tone, which works very well for what they're doing, but you also limit yourself.
Sure.
Star Wars doesn't need to be limited. We've seen Lost Stars and Bloodline and all these other stories that they can tell. But speaking, tying it kind of into Poe and why all this happened is Kathleen Kennedy made a big point of not all of these are going to be prequels. And so far, the only two spinoff movies we know
are going to be prequels.
But speaking to that, we don't know how deep their planning goes. They might have a Poe Dameron idea in the works. They might have Finn as a stormtrooper somewhere down the line. They're going to have, I don't know, a Bossk and IG-88 buddy cop comedy. Because that's something I really want.
Or a BT-000 buddy cop comedy.
Yeah, more than anything.
Give me... All right. Can we talk about toys for a second?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So where are my Santee 18-inch plushie? Where is my... 000 and BB-8, Triple Zero and BT Black Series figures. Fucking get on your game, Star Wars.
Tyler, one day they're going to announce one of those Star Wars Smuggler's Run boxes that we both canceled, and the theme is going to be like expanded universe, and all the things you just listed are going to be in that.
Yeah, and I'm going to fucking buy the shit out of it.
That's exactly where that would be, and it would be wonderful. But yeah, no, that's
an amazing idea.
I don't know why that's not a thing. The people signing up to Smuggler's Bounty probably enjoy the expanded universe.
I mean, one would think so, yeah.
I would hope. But, you know... That's the other thing, as I'm hoping they do get into these kind of like nitty gritty corners of the universe, like get into Bossk and get over here and do this. And like, there's not too many streamlined characters that I want to see in a movie. Like Boba Fett's a different case, but like, I do want an Obi-Wan story. I don't need like a Qui-Gon. I don't need the Han movie.
No.
I don't need that. I don't need like a solo Luke movie. I don't need a solo Leia movie. Lando would be good.
You'd Michael B. Jordan as young Lando?
Yes.
Yeller. Do it soon, though, because he's not getting any younger.
Black Panther. Chase Bowman could do it, too.
Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman. I always say Chase for some reason.
I don't
know
why.
He's in the family, too. He's in Disney. He could do it.
That's true. That's true.
They're using Lupita Nyong'o for every Disney property.
Yeah, because she's the dopest.
Right, she's going to be in Star Wars and maybe in this, and she was just in Jungle Book. She's all up in the Disney movies.
Good.
So make that happen.
Hell yes.
But, like, that's... And that'll be the other big push, too. Like, the other big reason they probably do have something with Poe planned is to get a little bit more diversity into their stories. If they go with what they have, it's going to be a lot of, look at where these white people were before they were the best white people in the galaxy.
Right.
Yeah. No one cares.
Whitey McWhiterson over here.
Right. But there's so many things to explore, but I'm not worried about the reshoots.
I'm not either.
I don't want it to feel like A New Hope. I want it to be... crazy.
I just want it to be its own thing.
Yeah. Just let it exist, because that trailer they dropped was awesome.
Was awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool.
And we know we'll get a Jin toy. And somebody's going to be related to Rey.
Word.
But they won't be. Nobody, we're not going to know that for a while. It won't be anybody
in Rogue One.
It's
fine by me.
It shouldn't be anybody in Rogue One. Are you good?
I'm good, babe.
How are you feeling?
I'm great.
You got it all off your chest?
Yeah, dude.
Great. Then, let's get on out of here, guys.
All right.
As always, if you're listening on iTunes, hit subscribe, leave us a review. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment and subscribe. If you're not, and you're listening to us anywhere else, you can find us at Facebook.com. Yeah, then good on you. You went to Google Play or Stitcher or one of the other neat places.
Or Blueberry or Podfeed or fucking...
all that jazz.
Garbage Town or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
But
thanks.
Facebook.com/Star Wars Book Club Podcast or Facebook.com/Modern Nostalgia Productions, which is now up and running. On Twitter at Star Wars Book Club Podcast, SW Book Club is the at handle for it. Or you can also find Modern Nostalgia, and the handle for that, because so many things were taken, was MN Nostalgia 55. And then Instagram at Modern Nostalgia, which you'll find our other shows. Superhero Primetime, which just launched,
yeah.
All about superhero television shows, Flash, Arrow, Gotham, etc., etc., etc. Hollywood already did it, our movie podcast. And that's pretty much it right now, because we haven't done any of our gaming stuff in a while.
And my new show, The Brew Crew, sponsored by Shock Top.
Yes, and that one. You can find me on Twitter at AsAlwaysBlake and Tyler at...
I am at The Tie Game.
All right, guys, we will see you next week.
Love you.